Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
And back here for the second half of our program. Great to have you with us, and we're always excited to check in with Adam Rittenberg, the national correspondent for college football from ESPN. And he's got a couple of stories that we want to take a look at. A couple of Miami and three others who about to make a jump, and also the future, what the next couple of years could look like based on power rankings. Adam, thank you for your time. Let's start with schools that are about to take a jump. You mentioned Miami. Give us the lay of the land and who's looking good right now.
Yeah, Paul, as you know, in this sport, it's so hard to change tiers, to move up a tier, to become something that you aren't. And so I took a look at Miami. Michigan State was sort of the focus of that piece, but also Oklahoma State and Texas A&M as programs that are at least making the investment to move up to that tier. I think the one program we've seen in this sport that has elevated itself in every way in the last decade or so is Clemson. You know, throughout the 90s, the early part of the 2000s, that was a top 20 program sometimes, never in the top 10. They decided to make investments. They knew their coach in Dabo, and they've become a national contender. And that's what Miami is hoping to do with Mario Cristobal. That's what Texas A&M is trying to do, obviously, with Jimbo Fisher. That was really the inspiration for the piece was what Michigan State did with Mel Tucker in giving him a deal that really set the market in last year's coaching cycle. But it's more than just an investment in one coach. It's saying, hey, we are serious about football. We are trying to become a higher tier program than we've been in the past. Hard thing to do, but those programs are at least attempting to make that move up.
Yeah, it's even harder, Adam, is it not, with a four-team playoff, because that's really how these coaches are judged. And I've lost track of how many $8 or $9 or $10 million coaches are out there. It doesn't seem like they're all going to be successful, does it?
It doesn't. But again, I think a lot of these moves are designed for the future and ideally an expanded playoff, which a lot of us hope comes sooner than later. But, you know, you're right. There's going to be a $9 million coach this year that probably loses three or four games. So how do they react to that? I spoke with Michigan State's top booster who really funded Mel Tucker's contract. And he at least is saying all the right things right now about being in it for the long haul and realizing that it's not something that happens overnight to become a tier one program, but that's a lot of money you've invested in one person. Essentially, it is a program investment, but if the results aren't there, it's why I think the Jimbo Fisher situation is so interesting, because A&M signed him to what was then a record contract, $75 million guaranteed. They are now approaching that period where they need the return on the investment, and everything else has gone right in the offseason in terms of recruiting and development, but they are probably closer to wanting those results than maybe a Michigan State or a Miami. But all those programs that I wrote about in that piece for ESPN Plus have said, we are putting money in. We are putting money into the coach, to the facilities, to the NIL program, what have you, and at some point they're going to expect results that is not 9-3 or 8-4. It's getting to the college football playoff and ultimately competing for a national championship.
Yeah, while you were talking, Adam, I got texts from, let me see if I get this correctly, Gene Chizik, Les Miles, Ed Ogeron, Dan Mullen, and Gus Malzahn saying, hey, can I talk to some of these guys and tell them the reality? It is brutal out there, and we both know that. Every year somebody gets fired that we were talking about in your group. So let me get to what the future looks like. And I don't think there's going to be too many big surprises here. And this is even tougher because it seems like the same people who are doing well today are projected to do well over the next couple of years. How did you come up with this list?
Right. Well, this is the fourth of a series of rankings, top 25s, and it's looking at the next three seasons. So it's a combination of who's on your roster now and who is coming in through the recruiting process, as well as other factors, coaching stability, different levels of investment. Obviously, Georgia rose from last year to this year. Michigan wasn't even in the team rankings last year. Now they're in the top 10. That's how dramatic a season like they had last year in terms of getting to the college football playoff and beating Ohio State. And so their fortunes are looking good. And so, yeah, no real surprises at the top. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State. Texas A&M, though, is my number four. And again, it reiterates the urgency in my mind. I know you and I have talked about it before. For that program to get into the college football playoff and compete for national championships, because that's why you hired Jimbo Fisher. That's why you put all the money into the program and had the recruiting class they had, which was the number one class, maybe the best defensive line haul ever. So they need to get into that championship level position. But to your point about the same teams, it is hard to crack that top five. I think Notre Dame's outlook is interesting. Michigan made a big move this year. LSU is in that top 10, always has the chance to move up. History has shown that. But can they be a consistent top four, top three program? We're going to find out. It's part of the intrigue here in projecting out the next three seasons.
Yeah, and not to harp too much, although why not, on A&M, because I mean, not only do they have to do it at some point, the money is massive, the success is on the recruiting trail and on the field. A couple of years ago and the win over Alabama, we had Coach Donnan on an hour ago, and he pointed out those ugly losses last year, which is still kind of hard to wrap your arms around. So, I mean, I realize you're just trying to look ahead, but what is the window for Jimbo Fisher? What really does he have to do over the next couple of years?
I think it's really simple, Paul. I think he has to make the college football playoff at least in the next 3 years, at least once. This year is maybe a tougher year to do so with some of the personnel they lost, and obviously that recruiting class will all be freshmen. So hard to expect all of those players to hit right away and develop right away. But if they're not in that mix by 2023, 2024, there's going to be a lot of people questioning, whether Jimbo's the right guy, whether they did the right thing by putting the money up like they did to bring him in from Florida State. So there's a lot of pressure there, but Jimbo gets it. He's been in these big-time programs pretty much his whole career. He understands what it takes to win a national championship. He's done that. It's interesting, last year, I was thinking about this earlier today, knowing I was going to come on and talk with you. Texas A&M beat Alabama last year. That is still something that they can point to when they face the Tide in the future, but there wasn't really a whole lot else that was positive about that season for the Aggies. So they're going to have to be better than they were overall. Whether that turns into a college football playoff this year, that would be a heck of a jump for them, but it needs to be in the next, I think, two or three seasons for sure, that they're in that mix for the top four while it's still a four-team system. Otherwise, there's going to be major questions about Jimbo and his leadership.
Hey, Adam, I don't want to sound like the drunk in the back of the bar, but I'm going to. This is his fifth year. I realize he's had a great recruiting, but why shouldn't he be expected to make the playoff this year?
I think it's, again, I think that would be a pretty fair expectation, honestly, because of the time he's been there. You just look at the roster, and that's what these future power rankings are. And, they have a quarterback question. Who's going to play quarterback?
Yeah, but who's in charge of that roster? You're not in charge of it. Jimbo Fisher is.
It is. And he's got to make the right moves. And again, on offense, if they aren't better at that position, you hear about it from many coaches in the SEC. Nick Saban has sung Jimbo's praises as a play caller and a quarterback developer. If they aren't better at that position, he's going to feel the heat. Defensively, I know a lot of that talent is young, but some of those players have the ability to step in right away and contribute for what's been a pretty solid defense. And so I think, again, 10 wins, 11 wins, challenging for the playoff, that should be an expectation in year one, but it absolutely will be an expectation in year one of the rankings. I should say year five for Jimbo. It absolutely will be an expectation in 2023.
You mentioned Clemson, and I think they're one of the most interesting teams. I mean, we got so used to just automatically putting them at one or two with Alabama. What do you see for Clemson? Because really not making the playoff or not winning it seems odd to be talking about now.
Yeah, and Clemson came in number one in my defensive power rankings. I still think what they've done in terms of the collection of talent on the defensive line, their recruiting. I think Wes Goodwin will do a really nice job taking over for Brent Venables, someone who's been on staff and creating that continuity there. They just have to get a lot better on offense. I think that's where the concern level is. Certainly at quarterback, with the step they took, step backward last year that DJ Uiagalelei took. Wide receiver used to be a given at Clemson, Paul. Every year they had two or three freak shows on offense. They haven't had that now for a couple of years. And so that wide receiver group, you know, will they get more out of it? Offensive line, new coach taking over there. That's been a spot opposing coaches have told me over the years is not always at a championship level for Clemson. So that's why they're at number five in these future power rankings. But if they take a very Clemson-like step forward this year, which I don't think would surprise anyone, win the ACC, get back into the college football playoff, and start looking like they have at quarterback and receiver, I think they have the other positions, especially on the defensive side, in really good shape. And the recruiting is still strong. I mean, they won 10 games last year. It wasn't a complete disaster, but another season like 2021, especially on offense, especially given the transition they've had on that staff, which was such a big part of Dabo Swinney's success, is that he didn't have coordinators that left. He didn't have to do what Nick Saban has done pretty much every year at Alabama. If that repeats itself on offense, there will be an elevated level of concern, I'm sure, among Clemson fans.
Coaches across the country are really appreciative of you putting them on the proverbial hot seat. Adam, thank you for being here. It's always great to talk to you.
That's what I'm here for, Paul. Appreciate you.
You got it. Great stuff from Adam Rittenberg. And what he talks about with Jimbo Fisher is accurate. And by the way, any A&M person would agree. They're not paying him a king's ransom to be average. We are coming back. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back with your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And Catherine is up next.
Hi, Paul. Happy longest day and happy summer to you.
Thank you, Catherine. Appreciate that.
It's been a really hot one. But anyway, I just want to tell you, we really are enjoying your programs this last 2 or 3 weeks. And I was so envious when you were in Destin for the coaches' meetings. I mean, you couldn't have had a better background than that. That golf, it was
I tell you, that is special. There's just something about spending 4 hours on the beach doing a show. It's hardly work.
Well, I know. It made us want to get in the car and drive up there because, I mean, you know, we're here. We have the Atlantic over here, you know, by Daytona, but the Gulf is really pretty. But the reason I'm really calling is it's really been bothering me for since I watched the regionals and the super regionals with the Tennessee team. I was just really upset with that baseball team. I was embarrassed, actually, to, you know, for them to be representing, or, you know, the SEC, from the coach who seemed to spend more time on the field than he did in the dugout coaching. I mean, he seemed, you know, asking for reviews and arguing with the umpires, and I don't know, it just seemed to like delay the game. But then also, I mean, the behavior, like, of the young man that cursed out the umpire. I mean, if I had been his parents, I would have been mortified in a way, because, you know, from when kids start, like with T-ball, you know, you try to teach them sportsmanship, and that just didn't go over to me real well. And then watching the fans in the stands, I mean, I see grown women cupping their hands and booing the umpires, and then even a small kid who was sticking his tongue out and putting his fingers in his ears, you know, making that funny face. But I don't know. I just was embarrassed, and I sort of am glad that they're really not in the World Series, because I think it would have brought a lot more drama to the games. And so far, they seem to be doing well.
Well, Catherine, thank you very, very much. It's great to hear from you. Let's continue with more phone calls. Mr. Padge is up next.
Hello, Paul. I wanted to talk to you, give you a couple of things just real quick. You know, we've run into each other at several places other than Tuscaloosa. I don't know if you actually saw me in the frozen tundra of Indianapolis, but
I tried
to say hello to you. Yeah, you know, that was awful. I don't think I've ever been so cold in my life.
It was brutal.
It was bad.
In many
but
ways.
You know, they had your group sitting up in the middle in the front, and then of course they had them crowded, and you couldn't get in the front door. But you had a guy called named Johnny. I wanted to say something. This is way overdue. About the fans of Georgia, they were some of the nicest, most polite. They were almost champions before they actually won the game. And I didn't run into anybody really there that was hostile or acted ugly. I know he was talking about two guys that call in. But for the most part, we all have those kind of fans that are bad. You know, Alabama has them too, and I'll admit it. We do. We have them too. But, you know, they were very, very nice. And this is way overdue about saying that. That's the one thing I wanted to get to. The other was I sent Daniel some pictures of the Legion Field. I thought of you when I was there watching the Birmingham Stallions. Now, you and I both spent hours there working. I was on the TV side. You were on the newspaper side. But I remember being down on that hot field while you were up in that cool press box.
Absolutely.
There was no way I was
coming out of that either.
I don't blame you. You know, the only way I got up there was at the beginning, and I had to fight Doug Layton to the buffet table. Other than that, you know, that was the first sport before the game. But, after that, I went down and melted my tennis shoes on the AstroTurf. But, anyway, it looks pretty good to be as old as it is. So I sent Daniel some pictures, and I sent him some pictures of me, too, because if you can put Daryl's ugly mug up, I want mine up, too.
Well, we'll get that. He happens to be on vacation, so when he gets back, we'll make sure we do that.
I'll run Handsome Joe a good race, okay?
Well, I've met you, so I know how attractive you are.
Well, thanks, Paul. I appreciate that. Give me some good. I need all the good words I can get. I appreciate it.
Well,
Roll Tide.
Thank you very much. Great to hear from you. Mac is in Baltimore. You're on the air. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
Great. Well, I was just taking a look at some over-under win totals today, looking at the lines. I was looking at Arkansas, and it's 7. And I was saying, you know, they've had a good couple of years. I'm liking what Sam Pittman's doing. Let me look at their schedule. And, oh, my God, is they're out of conference hard this year.
It's insane.
Are you familiar?
They're out of conference. They're Cincinnati, Missouri State, at BYU and Liberty. I mean, I don't think anybody
That's
has
crazy.
A tougher non-conference schedule.
Themselves?
I don't know. I would have bought
West.
My way out
the
of
West
that.
The West is already the toughest schedule.
I would have offered BYU anything to get out of that game.
Insanity. I mean, you know, I like the mentality, but if they have, you know, more than 80 healthy players come November, it's a miracle.
Yeah, and the problem is, the BYU game, they do have a break after that game, but then they have Auburn next. And Liberty is just a scary game. They're capable of winning a game against a team that, I mean, we saw last year with Arkansas. I mean, they had some phenomenal games, Texas, A&M, and then they just laid an egg against Auburn at home, I believe, and then somebody else, I can't remember. But, I mean, it's hard to, I mean, when you don't have a complete, a deep roster, and I think they will have a good roster this year, but is it enough?
I'm with you, Paul. That 7, you know, I don't want to, you know, let anybody do anything illegal, but, you know, take the under.
I don't know. I'm still tempted to put my faith in Sam Pittman. Hey, thank you very, very much. Dwayne is up next. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
Very well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, man, I was just looking at the top 10 coaches SEC rankings. And I was curious on your take on this. I've got they've got Jimbo at 4 on this ranking that I've got.
Yeah.
And I think, and my personal opinion, I think Pittman and Heupel is better. And they got them at, let's see, Pittman 7 and Heupel's 10. I just wanted to get your opinion.
So, okay, so you have Kirby, Saban. Who's number three?
I got Kirby, Saban, Stoops, then Jimbo, and then it's Brian Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about Brian Kelly.
Sam Pittman, Mike Leach, Shane Beamer, Josh Heupel, Billy Napier, Brian Harsin, Eli Drinkwitz, and Clark Lee.
Yeah, and you're saying Jimbo should be lower?
I am. I'm okay. Saying that there's two. I think Brian Kelly's better than him as a coach, to be honest with you.
Okay. I mean, well, I want you to be.
I'm not a Texas A&M fan. I don't like Jimbo either. I'm a Bama fan. But that could play in it.
Oh, I'm sure a Bama fan would have absolute objectivity when it comes to Jimbo Fisher. Hey, thank you for the call. We're heading to a break. We have a lot to do. We'll talk to the author of that list in about 30 minutes, and we hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hey, welcome back. We are raring to go here. Let's go to Ohio. Jeff is next.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
Hey, did you put out a buy signal today on Wall Street or what?
Yeah, I went ahead and it was a bad day. I sold everything this morning. It was probably unwise, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're supposed to buy low and sell high, Paul.
Yeah, well, I sold Home Depot and Lowe's and all the lumber yards, and I guess I made a mistake.
Hey, you got to give me some credit, Paul. When you were down and out during the thing, I told you construction was going to lead the show, and it did. And I told you about the price of lumber and appliances, which basically was the start of the inflation.
You're right.
And you just laughed at me as a lot of your callers.
Well, I don't know why, Jeff, I didn't take you seriously.
I don't either. I really don't. That's why you got to start pretty soon, Paul, because the show is getting Dullsville.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I've just been listening off and on today. And the only two calls I can really remember was Red Dog blabbering for about 10 seconds, and you luckily chopped him off, and typical John in Louisville rehashing last week's show. That's not going to get it, Paul. I mean, when are you going to have this get-together? That you know, Squirrel and everybody's laid the groundwork for you, but you won't do it.
I've been, in all candor, I've been otherwise detained lately. I've been working on something, and I have not remembered to do that, so we need to get that going, right?
I mean, what are you working on, that comedy show? The sitcom?
No, I got a new project I'm working on.
What's happened with the sitcom?
The sitcom is still in Hollywood. ABC bought the project, and we're waiting for them to decide when to produce it.
I mean, why don't you talk to them about producing like Squirrel said,
here's the problem. I don't know if you understand that once you sell something, you're out of it. They don't care what you think. They bring you back as an executive producer when they decide to, but you don't call them, they call you. But that's right. This other project, though, I think you'll like, Jeff. I really do. I'll tell you more about it soon.
I hope you do, Paul. Hey, I heard that lady on the last segment when I was on hold, the nice lady from Florida,
yeah,
talking about how embarrassing Tennessee's baseball program was,
right,
and their antics. And that's what I called about last week when your boy John in Maryville was trying to make their loss to Notre Dame into some feel-good, sappy story for the Notre Dame players. And when I called you out and said, isn't that embarrassing? Why did you take up for him, Paul? You didn't come out and basically
I happen to think William is a superb caller and somebody who uses logic often in his calls.
Yeah, but how could you turn in the when everybody that's got a common sense said that ball team was embarrassing for the SEC and the school, and you let a guy come in there and talk nonsense like a feel-good story for Notre Dame after they beat them, but you basically just took up for him and said that, you know, I mean, if he's wrong, he's wrong. It's, you know what I mean? It's not personal. You've told me that before. I mean, is he wrong or is he right feeling that way?
Well, as far as how William feels, Jeff, he's certainly he's close to the scene. He knows that area. I'm just an observer like you are.
I mean, you're just sidestepping the question again, Paul. Why do you do that every once in a while? And you go tap dancing again.
Me? I don't tap dance.
Yeah.
You want what else do you want to know?
I'll give you. Like to come out. It's just weird how sometimes you like to tap dance when it comes down to calling out certain people.
Well,
I don't get it.
Okay. Well, as we say,
but then you'll call out people like you'll call me out. And that's fine. I mean, you know, I don't get it.
Is there anybody else I don't treat fairly here? Do you want to go down the list while you have me on the air?
I mean, just you can go down the list if you want. I mean, have you started to call out your boy Barrett Salee?
All Barrett Salee did was make an erroneous prediction. I mean, I don't know why you want him.
I think he should be banned for a year, Paul,
okay,
for that. That's a bad prediction. That's what I think.
Anyone else? Since you have the floor, Jeff, and are taking names and kicking, you know what?
Well, I think half these guests you have on anymore, I've never even heard of them before they come on the air, Paul. I mean, are these guys up for promos from the suits putting these people up to get promo before the season starts?
Okay, let's name some names here. Who else are you talking about?
I don't know their names. I can't tell you.
Well, I mean,
you ask every caller who the top 10 guests are right now, and I bet you they can't even name 10 names.
Okay, well, let's start. Randy, who do you think the top 10 guests are on the show?
Guests?
Yeah. I mean, we have so many guests on, I can't even classify.
Well, I agree. If you just hit the nail on the head, you have so many more, you've abandoned the callers, Paul. Is that because, you know, you're afraid the callers aren't that good anymore, or what?
Jeff, I'm talking to you right now. Do you think this is compelling? Do you think
this
is sapience?
You just said you're finally realized you got to start taking me serious and listening to me. So I get it. I mean, you should listen to the great callers.
Jeff, I don't mean to be on. I don't really want to be on the defensive here, but I will offer this. I don't think there is a talk show in America that gives the callers more leeway than this one.
No, you do. That's what makes it good, and that's what gets it on fire some days. But we just got to get back on fire, Paul.
Well, Jeff, one thing that happens in a live show is this isn't scripted. This isn't WWE. Not that I want to be associated with that right now. This isn't Jerry Springer. This isn't a reality TV show that they cut the best and then they edit it down to 23 minutes. This is a live show. And you know what you do during a live show? You depend on people like you to be compelling,
right?
And sometimes,
but that's right.
You're disappointed.
And you watch; it'll get compelling. And that's where you usually, Paul, you're good at getting the thing stirred up. I don't know. I think ever since you got back from Destin, it's just gone a new direction. I'm just asking the question. That's all.
Well, Jeff, I will do my best to try to get.
I mean, let's get it on fire again. Let's get something going on, like the like Squirrel said, that format for pay-per-view, and that'll really get things going.
Yeah. I'll talk to my bosses and see if we can get 13 Feinbaum callers in a room for a reality show. I think that will go over well, especially with the liability insurance. How about William next in Maryville, who was just mentioned a minute ago by the caller formerly known as Jeff?
Well, Paul, I'm not even going to comment on what Jeff said because I got no idea what he was talking about, Paul. All that ranting and raving about taking his advice. But I am calling about what Catherine said. Drew Gilbert screwed up for Tennessee and he paid the price. Coach Anderson screwed up, he paid the price. But nobody's talking about the Evan Russell situation when – when a particular network declared that he...
It wasn't a particular network. He was ESPN. We shoot straight here.
All right. It was ESPN, stated that he was using performance-enhancing drugs and the whole Tennessee team was going to be tested the following day. Now, let's look at that for a minute. That young man was in some sort of a personal medical crisis. The unfounded story came out. It was publicized to the world. And Tony Vitello did not do a Jimbo Fisher. He did not, he did not call a press conference and have a meltdown and say, something about, well, I, was at Arkansas or I was at Missouri or I know who's using PEDs and it's not us. He didn't throw anybody under the bus. I don't think he even hardly responded to it. The AD didn't hire somebody like me to threaten to sue ESPN. My recollection is the only response was by Evan Russell's parents, which was, our son is doing much better. He's going to be able to play, and we're going to put this behind us. Now, if that's not a classy response, Catherine, look at the whole picture. The Tennessee kids, I don't know any of them that ever got in trouble. They were all good students. Yes, you might not agree with how they played baseball. One coach and one player did screw up. It cost them. They were punished, but they're not a bunch of thugs.
Thank you, William. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Kenny, who is in Decatur. Hello, Kenny.
Hey, Paul. What's going on?
Hey there.
So straight jacket Jeff, okay? I don't get this guy. So earlier there was conversation about, having a chapped ass. That dude, he chaps more asses, this side of the Mississippi than there are asses, okay? My grandma used to have this saying, it makes my butt want to dip snuff and spit out some brown shit.
I know it was your grandma, but we can't allow that. So I hate to run you out of there, but your grandma went over the line. We're taking a break here to recover from that. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Hey, what's going on, Coach?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Man, I'm going to tell you, Coach, I have just sit here long enough until Jeff from Columbus, Ohio, finally just pushed me to the point I had to call. And so, Jeff, you want the show to be more something or another. Legend was right last week. The show is better than it's ever been. Paul, you do such a fantastic job are representing all of us down here. I don't know what you could possibly do, but here it is, Jeff. And I'm on Jeff, I'm on Darryl, I'm on Red Dog. And don't get things twisted, I'm a Georgia fan. But some of our arrogant Georgia fans who think that we some kind of sports dynasty overnight have just, they, now that has chapped my rear end. Let me just go ahead and tell you. So I want me, Johnny from the, I want Johnny from the ATL, I want the legend and myself, the large one, against Darryl, Red Dog, and Jeff from Columbus in a cage match. And let's do it at a neutral field. We'll meet you at LSU at Death Valley, baby. Because let me tell you what some of these guys have got. They got this dang disease, Paul. It's a rare condition called 40-year absent titlenitis. And it's no cure for it but to win a championship. But even then, sometimes they still walk around with symptoms of it, like calling their coach the greatest ever. Kirby is my coach because Kirby is a great guy. He is a wonderful and I thank the good Lord for him. But our coach, Kirby, he's my coach because if he was asked who the greatest coach is in America, he's going to tell you it's Nick Saban. He's going to tell you where he learned his trade from. He's going to tell you what, you know, a lot of these guys walking around, a lot of these fans we got over here in Georgia right now, Coach, they don't know, they don't have a clue where we come from as Georgia fans. They don't know where we've had to crawl from and had to fight for. And now the job is proving that we belong here. Yeah, you know, my grandpa used to say all the time, even a blind hog can stumble across an acorn every now and then. So now it's time for, you know, Georgia to, you know, prove it. But anyway, so look here. I'm going to end up with this right here. It's hog hair, stupid black hats from where I'm sitting, Paul. The large one out, baby.
Phil, call again. That was fantastic. What a great call that was. Mark in Knoxville, you are on the air. Hello, Mark.
Paul, hi. I'm going to be very subdued, and that's probably not what Joe wants to hear. But anyway, to Miss Catherine, who called a few minutes ago about the Tennessee baseball team and the fans, how they acted and whatnot. If Tennessee wasn't number one, that probably would not have ever been seen or heard of anywhere in the baseball world or the sports world. And I will say something about the Florida fans. I will never go to Gainesville again because those fans, number one, I left there many times wet with not only Coke or Sprite, but also with bodily fluid. And that's not, I'm not the only person that's happened to. And they were also a cause at one time, a long time ago, where they had to switch sides of where the home team was. They didn't want them anywhere near where Florida fans were because of how they acted, what they threw, what they did. And Miss Catherine's welcome to her opinion. I respect her. She sounds like a very fine woman. But I must say that I know Tennessee did some things that may have irritated some people. I don't agree with the flipping of the birds and things of that nature. But there again, in the heat of the moment, some things do happen like that. And I just think that that's been overblown. I believe Vitello has come out afterwards and said, you know, things were, not quite on keel. And I respect him for that. He didn't come out and throw a tirade like some coaches would. But I just wanted to make that comment and say, you know, if you live in a glass house, don't throw a lot of stones because Florida fans, they are the worst. And to Mr. Joe, who yelled at you at the top of his lungs, you know, that is not doing anybody any good. I'd rather listen to your Tuscaloosa friend or, you know, those guys. They get on you, but they at least are entertaining, not condescending to you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very, very much. We have reached the end of 3 hours. Matt Hayes will join us next. He's the one that did the list that Kirby Smart was number one. over Nick Saban. We'll talk to him and get your reaction. Another hour to go and your phone calls as well. We're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.